Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you for blessing your seed planters out there, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for anointing them, blessing them, preparing your food for the 7 years of famine, anointing that food, and growing people up in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you guessed it. We're going to talk again about Bless the Seed Planters, number two. And this first revelation is all about gathering the vessels to be filled. Eve Brast had this on December 15th through the 17th, 2021. And the reason I say through the 17th is because she had dream after dream. And they fit pretty good with what the Lord is speaking to us. She said, on December the 15th, in a dream, we of UBM were in a warehouse gathering pots and dishes of all kinds and crock pots, etc., together and placing them on our white fold-out pot blessing tables that were lined up in a straight row. Oh, praise the Lord. There wasn't any food in them yet. We were all just gathering the vessels together in preparation for the food. Then I heard the voice of the Lord from above and to the right of me say, "You must wait 6 weeks." Okay, the time period would be up on January the 26th if the date of the dream is when the 6 weeks started. Okay, so she said, I woke up pondering about what this could mean. I believe it could be the anointing upon the food of the word that we have stored up to serve the people, which God commanded us to store up many years ago for the 7 years of famine. Then on December the 16th, I had two dreams that were identical back to back in the night. The dream was doubled. And we know that Joseph said when it's doubled, it means it will surely come to pass, right? In these dreams, we of UBM were all in a large wooden ark that was still sitting on dry ground with the big doors still down and resting on the ground and opened like a ramp leading up to it. Well, I believe the ark is being prepared to escape all these things, as said in Luke 21:36. She said, it was nice weather outside at the moment. I could see sun shining through the gathering white clouds. And I believe the light of the sun is shining on us to prepare for these days that are just about upon us. We're preparing the food. We were again gathering many different pots, pans, and crock pots in preparation for the food. This time, of course, in the ark, right? I wasn't sure how we were going to get all the meals and food, but we were getting ready to receive the supplies and dishes of food in order to distribute to all of God's people. Well, we've been told that we are storing up in the grain silos of Joseph for the time of releasing the anointed food to the people. And she went on to say this. She said, this made me think of Elisha and the widow in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, when there was a famine, and her husband had died, and they were going to take her sons into slavery and bondage because she couldn't pay her debts. Well, we can't pay our debts, can we? So She goes on to say, so grace came when the prophet told her to go and ask her neighbors for as many vessels as she could gather and begin pouring what little oil she had into them until they were all full. And then he told her to go and sell the oil to pay her creditors and save her boys from bondage. Hallelujah. Good message there alone, right? Then on December the 17th, I dreamed that UBM was again gathering dishes together to be filled with food in a house that belonged to David, that had many, many rooms of different sizes all joined together. Well, the Lord told me that he would build me a house. Now, some of you already know about that. And it was as a type of David man-child's house. Remember what God told David? I will build thee a house. All right. And my house is just about finished. So I think it's time for the house of God. So the house of David had to come before the house of God. We're actually living out, although we didn't know this in the beginning, we're just living out a parable here. And my house in the natural is almost finished. So we're about to start on the temple house, which is in the bride city, the city that John was told was the bride. And they are built for by the food. Well, how do we build the house? The house is the people. How do you build the people? They have to have food. And the food, which is the word, that has been stored up to create Christ in you, right? I again heard the Lord's voice from directly above me say, from beneath the bars of the gates you shall escape. Wow, okay. Well, the first fruits bride escapes Babylon to begin rebuilding on their promised land. It has to be on the promised land because you're standing on the promises of God, right? Well, the righteous shall live from faith. I woke up repeating this phrase to myself and wondering what the Lord was saying. The thing that came to me was about when Cyrus diverted the Euphrates away from Babylon so that his armies could go under the bars, which go across the Euphrates, and then through the gates on both banks and conquer Babylon. And this was as the king was receiving the interpretation of the writing on the wall by Daniel, who was made the third ruler in the kingdom at that time. Just think about it. The Father, the Son, the man-child. And the Holy Spirit is in all of them, according to the Word of God. It's interesting because I just read on Operation Disclosure on Sunday, January the 2nd, 2022, earthquakes, quote-unquote, under Geneva Lake in Switzerland destroyed the Cabal's CIA CERN headquarters and was considered the fall of Babylon. Wow. Considered the fall of Babylon. Well, that's a sign right there, isn't it? That's where their brains are. That's where I heard the elite were fleeing to just weeks ago, and now they bombed it. And these earthquakes are actually bombings or rods of God, if you know what that is. Look it up. Just as Cyrus did, Trump decapitated Babylon. Many traitorous leaders are about to be executed. I know that they have executed quite a few too. And then, of course, the headless enemy will be cleaned up. That doesn't mean that false flags that were already planned are not going to come to pass. Yes. And they're obviously designed by the deep state and, I believe, incoming. Okay. She said, during my waking hours on these days, the Lord brought an old song back to my memory that I hadn't heard or thought about in a very long time. It was called Seek Ye First. I couldn't get it out of my head and just kept singing the verse over and over. So I looked up the rest of the song so that I would be able to sing the whole song. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. This is important to the bride right now. Eve many times types the bride. It's important to the bride to seek first the kingdom right now. The choosing is very close. And then the Lord put it on my heart to request that Barry lead us to sing it at the Friday night meeting, and that we could put it as a permanent addition to our songbooks. And here's the lyrics below. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. So the word of God is what creates the bride in the image of God, right? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask God for everything, saints, everything. Everything that you need, ask and believe you have received. You're justified by faith, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. And this is a really good exhortation to seek first his kingdom, to be prepared for the choosing of the bride. Mm-hmm. This next revelation, we called it Praying for the Latter Rain. It was given to Isaac Payne on 1-1-22. Yes. He said, I wanted to share this dream I had last night. It was a very direct and quick dream. I'm wondering if there is a significance of this being the first dream for me of the new year 2022. Well, considering that Isaac has very good dreams on a regular basis, so the Lord could certainly be sending us a message about what to expect as far as timing for the latter rain anointing coming early this year, 2022. He said, in this dream, it was night. Well, the nighttime represents the tribulation that's coming and when gross darkness is over the earth and the peoples. And this is the time when the former and the latter rains will be poured out upon God's elect in a great revival, as it was when God's people were entering the wilderness, a type of the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and 17. They were entering the wilderness. They weren't flying over it. Okay. There was a couple of their upper 50s holding on to each other in a desolate area. I believe the desolate area represents the wilderness tribulation that is almost upon us, because the new covenant with many is about to come to pass. They called out to me, and I went to speak with them. I knew the man's name in the dream was John. Well, that means God is gracious, or graced by God. Okay. John the Baptist was preparing for the anointed one. He was preparing people to receive the anointed one. And he comes as the latter rain, according to Hosea 6, 1 through 3. The Lord is coming as the latter rain on the morning of the third day, according to Hosea 6, 1 through 3. That's where we are right now. That's how the Bible says he's coming. And you remember Jesus, the Son of Man, was anointed of the Holy Spirit. And that meant the Son of God was in the Son of Man, going forth to preach and to bring the covenant. The woman that he was holding had blonde hair, and it was a couple of inches from her shoulders. Well, I think that the bride is prepared to be chosen by the Anointed One. And the bride is obviously friends with the John the Baptist ministry because she has repented. And then Isaac said they looked like husband and wife. At least that's what it seemed like. They asked me if I would pray for the latter rain with them. Well, I can tell you who are eagerly waiting for the latter rain. It is the bride and the John the Baptist ministry. We all joined hands and prayed in agreement, and I prayed, O Father, thank you. We ask for the latter rain anointing, and we claim it done. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I woke up. Well, the Anointed One is Jesus in the man-child body of reformers who are coming to reform the church because it's been torn down by a lot of Babylonish ministers, right, who went but weren't sent. Okay. Then this revelation here was given to Deborah Horton on 9/20/21. We called it Psalm 87 and Zion, the Desert of the Lord. I hope I can explain what the Lord revealed to me in these texts. Well, as we will see in Deb's revelation, the couple mentioned in Isaac's dream who were holding on to one another in a desolate place, praying for the latter rain, represents those in Zion. It says in Psalm 87 and 1, she said, His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Jacob represents the church, Israel, the church of the Old Testament, representing the church of the New Testament, Zion representing the bride. He loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. He has chosen the bride there. You can see that. The actual meaning of Zion in the Hebrew word is Saya, meaning desert, drought, dry places, parched land. And I think about that for a minute. Well, let me say that she is prepared to soak up the anointing and the word of the man-child reformers. Dry and parched land soaks up the rain, the latter rain, right? It says in Psalm 63 and 1, O God, thou art my God, earnestly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and weary land where no water is. Boy, I'm telling you, there is a great lack of the Word of God out there. So, he goes on to say, We are the dry and weary land, Deb said. We are that dry and weary land. But why are we seeking Zion if it's in a desert, or it is a desert? And why would the Lord love a dry and weary land? Well, I can tell you what he loves. He loves people who are hungry and thirsty for God. They're going to hunger and thirst and be filled. Yes. Psalm 87 and 3 says, Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. That's the bride. Selah. Glorious things are spoken of a desert? Yes. Verse 4. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon as among them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. Well, here in verse 4, notice that Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia were enemies of Zion, and they were Gentiles until they were reborn there it says. This one was born there. Okay. Colossians 1 and 21 says, and you, speaking of the Gentiles, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. So, this Gentile group has joined the olive tree with the Jewish converts, right? Verse 5, yea, of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he writeth up the peoples. This one was born there, Selah. So look at another place where the location of birth is important, like Luke 2 and 1 on down. It says, now it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to enroll themselves, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to enroll himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered. So, let's go back. We see how important that is, but let's go back to Psalm 87 and 7. They that sing, as well as they that dance, shall say, all my fountains are in thee. Well, she said, fountains are living water. Because it's moving water. Living water had to be moving water. And in John 3 and 5, Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born anew. The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and whence it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So you have to be born of the water, which is the Word of God. And some people think it's all over when you accept Jesus as your Savior. No, it's just beginning. You have to accept the Word of God in that renewed mind of the Spirit. All right? Be born of in spirit, born again in spirit and in soul. And when we, that's where you bear the fruit, by the way. When we come to Zion, we have to come empty, a dry and dead to self desert, in order to be filled. And it says in Philippians 2 and 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And also in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There it is. So, you recognize hungry people, not people that just want an easy in and an easy out, accept Jesus and go home and do your same old stuff and come back and get fire insurance the next week, you know. No, God wants those hungry and thirsty people, like a desert, soaking up the rain, right? And David Mullenix added this text, Isaiah 53:2. For he, which is Jesus here, grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Okay, even Jesus, like a root out of dry ground. He absorbed everything the Father gave to him, including that anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? So, Zion has gone through a crucifixion at the hands of the apostates, and God will pour out upon this bride a renewal of the former reign, as the man-child ministries receive the latter reign and gives it to the bride after 3.5 years. This was according to type with what Jesus did. He was the first to receive the former reign, and 3.5 years later, he gave it to the people of God, and they received it. So the latter reign is going to be at the first reserved for the man-child ministry, because God wants all eyes on the man-child. These are the reformers. He wants all eyes on them. That anointing is coming upon them. Okay, then Marlene Laughlin got this. We called it UBM Books, Getting Anointed. So remember the anointed food that we were talking about, the anointing that was coming upon the food? Okay. And Marlene got this on 12/2/21. She said, I dreamed the sky was getting gray as a storm was coming soon. Well, in the natural, Trump and the alliance have said the storm is upon us, meaning the warfare on the deep state in our government that will temporarily bring down the satanic cabal and bring God's people a temporary reprieve from the left wing of the dragon beast as the right wing rises at the man-child's return in his body of man-child ministers to lead God's people in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. So, this is all coming at us. We're in it now, and praise be to God. We're looking so forward to what the Lord is about to do. He's going to feed all the hungry souls, especially the bride. The bride's going to be first, you know. I knew that I was in a white one-story school building. Well, we're in the school of sanctification, learning to walk in holiness. As in Eve's dream, when Lion Man came and expounded on David's books, but with a greater anointing. Amen. So God's going to use these books that we've made because they come from Scripture. And but the anointing to share them and expound upon them will be greater, the latter rain. Some of the UBM women that had been working on the books were in a huge library trying to take the UBM books out of many boxes and put them in order on the library shelves after they had dusted them. Okay, well, praise the Lord. They've been in storage, obviously, mostly. I mean, I know that they're being printed actually by the thousands, but they're in storage mostly for the largest part. And getting ready to feed the people. There's an anointing coming. I saw everyone working with happy hands and hearts, she said. Well, a library is a quiet, restful place where people are able to study and learn, right? Dusting and putting in order represents cleaning up the spiritual environment so that the knowledge in the materials can be received. Psalm 68:11, the Lord giveth the word. The women that publish the tidings are a great host. Amen. Then we all heard thunder and saw a mix of swirling gray clouds. It was starting to rain, but only a mist. We hurried so that we could get that last pallet done so that all the boxes of books would be shelved and in order. That's kind of like putting the food in the container, right? These are all kind of fitting together very neatly. The time is short, and we must get the house in order. Jesus told his disciples in John 9 and 4, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The whole side of the school looked as if it was suddenly gone. One person looked up and said, "Where did the windows go?" There were windows there earlier. Well, during the latter rain, the veil will be taken away from our knowledge and understanding. The windows of heaven are opened to release revelation knowledge to a hungry and thirsty people. 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 12 says, "But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." So he's saying that we have all these gifts in part. But then he says, "But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." So what's being done away is the in part. It's done away. Because the more fuller manifestation of these gifts is coming. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known." Well, they're about to see Jesus face to face. He will be in a body of the Son of David, a corporate body of the Son of David, just as he was the first time. "I heard the splat, splat, splat of large raindrops falling. Each splat was several inches from the other." Well, once again, Hosea 6, 1 through 3. "Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, that's 2,000-year days, will he revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up." And that's where we are now, on the morning of the third day. "And we shall live before him." So, this is the 1,000-year days, and we're on the morning of the third day, as it says in the very next verse. "And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth." Yes, some people think they're going to see him coming down out of the sky and grabbing them up and taking them away. And nope, ain't going to happen that way. God already told us how it's going to happen. "Seeing that some stacks of books had a rain splat on them, I took a white towel and started to quickly wipe off the medium dark blue covers of the remaining books on the table. But the rain would not wipe off." And then I heard someone say, "Merlene, it's the latter rain. It will not wipe off." Yeah, praise the Lord. Psalm 68, 7 through 12. "O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth trembled, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God." There's going to be earthquakes, by the way, when this presence of God comes. "Yon Sinai trembled at the presence of God and God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation dwelt therein. Thou, O God, didst prepare of thy goodness for the poor. and the Lord giveth the word. The women that publish the tidings are a great host. Amen. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she that tarrieth at home divideth the spoil. Okay, we know they're going to divide the spoil of the deep state. Yep. So here's a revelation given to Vanessa Weeks on 12/1/21. We called it Pray for Good Weather for Building on the UBM Land. I dreamed I was listening to an unleavened bread Bible study with my ear buds. Towards the end of the study, David asked all of us who were listening to pray that we would have good weather in the area over the next several days. The good weather may be, she says, the sun / S-O-N, shining on us, and no storm in the heavens. Yep. He said that we should be working on or building something that would be shelters for the people. Well, we know 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers, ye are God's husbandry, which is God's building." We are working on a building. It's made out of people, right? I asked the Lord for a word about the shelters and received by faith at random, Matthew 24:30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Okay, well, now we know that this verse does not fit timing-wise with what we're talking about, this first coming of the Lord. But if we just consider the words of the verse, we know that the Lord is coming in his man-child body of reformers, which is a Son of Man. Did you notice that? So, the Son of God is coming in a Son of Man to repeat history. As David talked to us about praying for good weather, I saw him hammering some metal frames together, and it appeared that it would be a large building. And this reminds me of Ephesians 2:20-22, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together. There's the framing, right? The framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. I asked the Lord for a word about David hammering and what we were building, and received by faith at random Daniel 2:19. And in context, 19-23. So, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Well, we know Daniel was a type of the man-child ministry at the time of the fall of Babylon, who was a revealer of these secrets to the people who were coming out of bondage to rebuild the kingdom in the promised land. Revealer Joseph and Daniel were great revealers of secrets, and they represented man-childs, because that's what's coming, is a revealer of secrets. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." We're going to see a lot of that, right? The man-child is going to overthrow the throne of kingdoms, the Bible says. "He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that have understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast now made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. That feels pretty good, doesn't it? David also said, the building will be on some land UBM has, and I saw it as a park-like setting. Okay. Park is, of course, a place where people rest and enjoy. God's people were told to conquer the old man and take the land of promise, which means to stand on the promises of God. The first land to be taken after the Babylonian falling away was Zion. And the temple ground, which represents the new leadership of born-again Zion, which represents the bride, in whom is the presence of God. God's going to speak out of Zion, as his word clearly says. I was thinking in the dream, I did not know UBM had land, but we have had several dreams of this land and us standing on the grass. Well, standing on the grass represents conquering our flesh. Just like Peter said, all flesh is as grass, and the flesh has to be under our feet, meaning under submission. Amen. Or you can't be in the bride, obviously. I asked the Lord for a word for this dream and received by faith at random Luke 9 and 25. And in context, 23 through 27. And he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. For the flesh to die on, that's what it's for, right? And follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and lose or forfeits his own self? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. And when he cometh in his own glory, and the glory of the Father, and of the holy angels, but I tell you of a truth, there are some of them that stand here who shall in no wise taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. So denying ourselves and taking up our cross to follow Jesus is the land that we have in UBM. Okay, I went to the UBM site and put the word shelter in the site search and saw a dream from Eve on 10:10:10 called Man-Child and Bride Save Apostates. And this is the portion that had shelter in it. And the verse she got is the same Daniel text I received above when I asked what David was hammering on and what we were building. Pretty neat, huh? Real good, strong confirmation there. So here's the portion of Eve's dream. She, that's the Pakistani woman, who said to me, you are the seer, right? Question mark. Then handed me the piece of cardboard she had been writing on. I took it in my right hand, and I'm naturally left-handed, and I held it up towards the light to my right. She had written the Roman numerals 28, XXVIII, 28, on it. As I was doing this, a voice from behind me and up and to my right resonated through my being, asking, are you ready for March the 28th? And I answered yes. Well, after this, the Pakistani woman, which was the foreigner and one that was coming into the kingdom, obviously, turned into a child and came around and took shelter under my right arm, which became a wing with white feathers. And this is when the dream ended. So Eve had this dream on 10:10:10. The very next March 28th was a significant day. March 28th in Roman numerals represents the day that the Roman Catholic, meaning universal, church, the one world order church, right, attempted with the Roman beast government to force the Jews, now also representing the Christians, right, on threat of death into their one world order religion. And this attempt was thwarted by God using an earthquake on what is now March the 28th. And we're not saying anything will happen on the 28th. But looking at the day, we see what March 28th represents. And it's a parallel. It's a symbolism. And is unmistakable. And I believe the future attempt at the covenant with many will bring terrible earthquakes to America. Could something like this be a demonstration for the apostate church's sake? Because of this and more to come, those who have been given discernment among them may come under the authority and protection of the bride and the man-child, as in that dream Eve had. And when Haman, as a type of the Antichrist beast, got an edict to destroy the Jews, it was Mordecai, the man-child, and Esther, the bride, who were used to save them. So you see, it's definitely written in Scripture. And when I asked the Lord about seer, I opened my Bible and put my finger down on Daniel 2 and 20. I then went on to read verses 19 above it and 21 through 23 after it. Daniel 2:19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Oh, we got it again, right? Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And down in verse 21, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that have understanding." We've never seen a time like leaderships are falling. They're falling fast. They're being replaced. "He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast now made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." So God has revealed the timing and nature of his judgments to his bride, represented by Eve, of which the man-child, represented by Daniel, is the head. You see, David was a part of Jerusalem, which was called the bride, but he was also the head of Jerusalem, but he was a member of the bride. So I just thought it was an amazing confirmation when Eve's dream came up and had the same scripture I received for my dream. Yes, it was. And that how she found that dream of Eve's was amazing. You know, some of you don't necessarily believe in receiving words by faith, but this is certainly a good confirmation. On 12:14:21, Eve asked for a word to answer David about our promised land last night, and she received by faith at random Nehemiah 9 and 15. "And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst." There's the hunger and the thirst. "And commandest them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give to them." How awesome. Okay, here's one given to Deborah Finsky, 12:22-21. We called it UBM Light Workers Reaching Those in Darkness. Deborah said, "I had a short dream last night that I want to share after hearing the broadcast about the bride shining the light on those coming out of the apostate church." Aha. "I was in a house, like Jeff's house, but it seemed bigger. The layout of the rooms were about the same. It was pretty plain and emptied inside. Well, you know, we must be emptied inside to be filled with the light of Christ, right? I knew there were quite a few people in this house. Then the scene changed, and I was standing out in the front of the house, but it didn't look like the front of Jeff's house. I was standing in front up on the hill, like the way Jeff's house is, and it was dark outside. I was looking at a line of several people far away, down below. But I wasn't looking down a driveway. I was just looking from way above these people, in other words, up in the air. And I could see very sparsely wooded land that they were walking through. And we believe this is probably representing their personal wilderness trials, right? It's amazing that I could see them so clearly because they were a far distance away. And since it was dark, I knew they needed light. And I could see, even from that far off distance away, that a couple people were using the flashlights on their cell phones. I thought I would give them more light, so I started shining the flashlight of my phone way out there to them, and I could tell it made a little bit of difference. So this is how it starts out, a little bit of light, and then more light, right? All of the UBM workers are working on getting the light of the gospel to people through books and digital means, like Debbie's phone. Light represents knowledge of truth, which Jesus said would set us free. And these people need to come out of their bondages, their religious bondages, and so on. I could even see people turn around and look, wondering where the extra light was coming from. But it still wasn't that much light. They needed more. Yes, people need more light and truth. The latter rain anointing of the man-child would open their understanding. I desire that God's people would take the Great Commission evangelism more seriously. Many will miss the bride because of this. People are not doing their job. They're not doing what we're commanded, right? So I tried a couple of different ways of holding my phone to try to find the best way for my flashlight to give them the most light. I finally raised my arm up higher and let the light shine down on them. I could see my light shining all over them, from the rear of the line of people clear to the front of them, and even further out. So the light was reaching the people far away, right? And I saw them looking around again as I knew they were trying to figure out where that light was coming from. And then I woke up. Well, UBM is working on shining the light to help people find their way in their wilderness. Praise the Lord. And a big thank you to all the light workers in the kingdom. Amen. Luke 1:76 through 79 says, "Yea, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways." Well, you know, UBM is one of the John the Baptist ministries preaching repentance. Repentance is, of course, change your mind. You need to know what to change your mind to, because they've forgotten the scriptures, right? So preaching repentance involves showing truth. And in our day, it's to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord in his people. You have to know truth to be able to recognize the Lord when he comes. A lot of people didn't recognize him. 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people in the remission of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high shall visit us.
Well, this is Jesus in the Mantle Ministry by word and by spirit. To shine upon them that sit in darkness, there it is, and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, glory be to God. How awesome. How awesome. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for showing us this wonderful revelation and fitting all these dreams together for us to help us to understand what is about to happen. The light is going to go forth abundantly, and it's going to bring multitudes out of bondage and into the kingdom and into building in the promised land, which is the only place we can build, in the promised land, first Zion and the temple. And then, of course, we know that as Jesus sent forth those first fruits disciples that John the Baptist said was the bride, Jerusalem, they brought that light to many others and brought them into the kingdom. So thank you, Father, for all this awesome work that you're going to do among your people. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.